Psalms 116, verse 15, where precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. A lot of memories. Judy was a great gal and a great Christian. Her and Mel been supportive. Jay taught them, he said, in 72, and they came to Bozeman in 74. Been there ever since, and just a tremendous asset to that local assembly. I know when Carrie first went out to Montana, it was Judy that her and Mel that really helped her out, you know, get established. I think she worked at the paint pot for a while too before she started working at the music store. In fact, she totaled Judy's car for her one day. Judy let her. It wasn't her fault either. Carrie was just out, you know. Judy let her use the car to run an errand or something, and somebody came, ran a stop sign and hit her and totaled Judy's car. But no one was hurt. It was okay. But you know, that's what it's all about. It's the way of all the earth. And it'll be tough for Mel for a little while, you know. Saw him there in Oregon family camp in February. Him and Judy were both out there because she's from Oregon, actually, originally. And he's pretty feeble. Again, it's just part of it. Our hope, obviously, today around the world, people are recognizing. I'm getting little message thingies from people, you know, because it's Resurrection Sunday. The Orthodox don't celebrate, I don't think, today. I think it's in another week or something. I get confused. But still, you know, it's known in Christianity, the resurrection of Christ from the dead. There's a lot of misunderstanding about all that because people in many ways don't know what the scripture really teaches about it. But what I want to do is kind of work, I want to kind of finish up some things that I have been sharing, you know, maybe 2 weeks ago I was up here, about the first things first. It does have reference to the resurrection. This is the whole idea. It's fundamentally, it's a major, aspect of what Christianity is all about. Paul told the council, when he was brought before them, he saw the council was divided, Pharisee and Sadducee, because he was going to be brought up on some charges, and he recognized the Pharisees being there. They believe in a resurrection. The Sadducees don't. How can you be Jewish and not believe in the resurrection? Well, that's not much different than it is today. A lot of ignorance of what the scriptures talk about. So Paul said, it's for the hope of Israel that I'm in this chain. Says that in Acts 28 as well when he's brought to Rome. The hope of Israel is a resurrection from the dead. It's the hope of the true Israel of God, as Paul describes the church being the true Israel of God. We are the descendants of Abraham through Isaac, the son of promise, Paul said, is the Christian. Back there in Galatians 4, he said, those who are of the flesh in the Jerusalem that now is, which is in bondage, are the descendants of Abraham through Ishmael. Just saying what the scripture says. It's a spiritual thing. It's for the hope of Israel, the true Israel of God. Jesus said, if a man believe in me, he will never die. Do you believe this? And the Jews said, well, now we know you're nuts. Abraham's dead, and the prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be? Man believeth in me. Now, that's not just intellectual assent to believe some facts about Jesus, and boom, then you're through the golden gates, man. The red carpet comes out. Simon Peter falling all over himself to welcome you into the kingdom of heaven proper. No. No, it starts with the first resurrection. And we need to be talking about that. First things first. When Jesus was speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, we've already kind of gone over this, about people worrying about what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, what they're going to put on. He said, that's what everybody worries about. That's what all the Gentiles worry about. But you, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things, what things, what are you going to eat, what are you going to drink, what are you going to put on, will be added. That's a promise from God too, by the way, not me. Huh. All those exceeding great and precious promises, that's not in our power to fulfill. The Bible says, Scripture can't be broken. Jesus said, Scripture can't be broken. Thy word is truth. God makes those promises. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, these things will be added. Now, what we talked about last week, seeking first the kingdom of God is going to be in that new birth where you must be born again. And the first things first, what we looked at, our priority, we got two major fronts of which affect all of us. The things within and the things without, meaning external. The things within are the internal. The things on the outside are the external. You don't have nothing to say about the externals of things that may happen to you living here on earth. When we talk about the wars and the rumors of wars and the earthquakes and the pestilence, pandemics, floods, hurricanes, whatever, you don't have no say over that. Well, it will affect you. It will affect you. You know, the news coming out of Ukraine right now, these poor people and what they're going through, you think they asked for that? They're in it, man, and it's bad. It's real bad. The atrocities now that are coming to light are just sickening, of what the Russian soldiers did to men, women, and children and left their bodies all scattered all over. It's bad. They had no say in that. But the internals, which we dealt with the last time, that's those things that ail us within. It's our old man that needs to put off. We need to put him off. We got to kill him, actually, is what it says. Put to death, therefore, your man. Kill him. If you don't kill that old man, he will kill you. That's what Jesus tells us. You're going to have to deny self, take up the cross. You got to put that guy to death on that cross. That's going to be, that's a challenge. But the only way you can even begin to do that is you have to first seek the kingdom of God, because you need to be born again to have the strength to deal with the old man. You have to have Christ in you, the hope of glory, which performs the circumcision done without hand and the removal of the sins of the body, or the body of sins of the flesh. You have to be. You have to have that. And if you do that, we were sharing last time, when you have the Spirit of Christ in you, when you've been strengthened with his might, by his power in your inner man, guess what? You can't be crushed by these externals. That's why first things first. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, it says, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years, which is just Bible numbers for eternity. 1,000 years. Priest. The Apostle Peter, speaking to the Christians, says in 1 Peter 2:9, but you, Christians, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. Who's the priest in the New Testament? the Christian. We're talking about garden variety Christians. Do you realize God set apart with his people of the Old Testament, the tribe of Levi? They were the priesthood of the Old Testament. What was their purpose? To teach the people, to instruct the people on what was holy, profane, clean, unclean, and be the intercessors and the offering of sacrifices given specifically to them. What's the Christian's purpose on the earth now, to go forth and preaching the gospel to the whole world? What's our mission? To teach the people. Christianity has to be taught. Go and preach the gospel to everybody. He who believes it and is immersed will be saved. If they don't believe, they'll be condemned. And what do? We begin to teach the people about what? About God. What is holy and profane, clean and unclean. That's why he said, you now are a chosen generation. You are the royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into this marvelous light in the kingdom, which came 2,000 years ago. Oh, no longer born of woman either, too, by the way. Oh, remember what he said about John the Baptist? What'd you go out in the wilderness to see? Reed shaking in the wind? What'd you go see? A prophet? More than a prophet. And Jesus said, of those born of woman, there had not risen a greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. What, John didn't make it? Yes, John's just fine. Don't worry about John the Baptist. See, the kingdom that Jesus spoke about, it says he came to his own in John 1, and they rejected him. Well, who's his own? The Jews. Jesus, Jewish. Came to his own, but they rejected him. They refused him. But to those who receive him, he gives the power, the right, the privilege to be born, not of blood, not of will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but to be born of God. If you are a New Testament Christian, garden variety, you are no longer considered in God's eyes as born of woman, but born of God. Paul would even say in Romans 8, verse 8 and 9, those in the flesh can't please God, but to the Christians, he said, but you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwell in you. Jesus said, or the Apostle John, Christ speaking through him, if you are a partaker in the first resurrection, he said, the second death has no power over you. Now, we know the second death is after we see in the judgment the great white throne, him who sat on it, from whose face the heaven and earth fled away, no place found for them. And then it said the dead stood before God, the great and the small. The books were open. The dead were judged out of the books according to things written in it, according to their deeds, according to what was written in the books. And then another book was opened, the book of life, and whoever's name was not found in the book of life goes into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So if you're a partaker in the first resurrection, guess what? Second death has no power over you. Okay, well, how am I going to take place in the first resurrection? Well, if we look at Big John chapter 5, Jesus speaks about it. First off, he said that God doesn't judge anybody, but God gave all the judgment to the Son. Okay. That's Big John 5 and 22. The Father judges no one, Jesus said. He has committed all the judgment to the Son. Makes sense to me. You know, Paul said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive for the deeds done in our body, good or bad. He's the perfect judge. Why? Because he's been here. He lived here. He walked around down here in this trash can for 33 and a half years, tempted in all points, bore the heat of the day, put up with all kinds of stuff, including them apostles, and he had to set them straight more than once. James and John wanted to call fire down on the old Samaritans here because they didn't receive Jesus when it came. Master, you want us to call fire down on them like Elijah did? Jesus said, you don't know what manner of spirit you are. I didn't come down here to destroy men's lives, but to save them. That just go to the next city. He had to put up with them. Oh, then they wanted to sit one on the right, one on the left in his kingdom. Wanted to get up there and get the chief seats. He had to put up with all. And then he rebuked them for their hardness of heart and their unbelief right before he ascended from the Mount of Olives to go back to God. Can you imagine that? After all that, and just as he's getting ready to launch, he's got to rebuke them because some of them did not believe at the first that he'd been resurrected from the dead. They didn't believe the testimony of witnesses that saw him, even some of their own guys. He said, oh, as he was sending up through the cloud, oh, Father, I hope this works. Those guys are pretty dim down there, I'll tell you. I think we resemble that remark. They figured it out. Spirit of truth was given to them, brought to their remembrance all things whatsoever he said. They did it. Near as we can tell, the Apostle John was the only one who died of old age. The rest of them did die for their faith, so they got it finally. Father judges no one, Jesus said, has committed all the judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son, Big John 5 and now 23 here, that they, as they honor the Father, they should honor the Son. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, okay, listen up. I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has, present tense, past, from death to life. Most assuredly, Jesus said, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is. Hour coming, now is, 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago is what he's talking about. When what? The dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, and he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also. Why? Because he's the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, Jesus said, for the hour is coming. He doesn't say it now is. He said it's coming, in which all who are in the graves shall hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the first to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. There's two resurrections taught in the New Testament. A spiritual resurrection that we all participate in when you are born again. Notice how he said that. Most assuredly, I'm saying to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Remember what he says in Ephesians 2 to the Christians. He made you alive, he said in verse 1. Ephesians 2, 1. He made you alive. You was dead. Dead in what? Trespasses and sins. What death is he talking about? You are separated from God. That's what death is. It's separation. You're not here anymore. They're gone. They ain't out of existence, but they're just not here. It's death, separation. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. He's talking about Satan. Among whom we also once conducted ourselves in lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature, quite naturally, children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we was dead. That's what he's talking about in John 5, 25. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, 2,000 years ago, when the dead who are walking around, he just like he mentioned to the Ephesians, you was dead. But now you've been made alive. They were partakers in the first resurrection. You got to have that. That's to be born again. You have to have that now if you're going to make it through this thing. One, you've got to have the transformed life that he'll provide. through our faith in his spirit, you go like babes, man, from milk to meat. That's what this earth is for. He says it's short too, by the way. Even if you get your 80, even if you get your 80 like Judy got, she was right up there close to 80. Okay, but she gone now. But she ain't dead. Jesus said God ain't the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. That's our hope. She's been faithful all these years. And the time had come to go the way of all the earth. What a way to go, right? I'm glad the girls were able to get a hold of the thing and get the car stopped. I mean, gee whiz, them are young girls. I mean, I don't know how old Carissa, how was her name? 17. That ain't a lot of experience to be trying to stop a car that, she's on the interstate, man. That speed out there is 80 miles an hour. I don't know if Judy had a lead foot or not, but I mean, she did? Okay, well. She launched, but anyway, but see, you see, we need to be participants in the first resurrection in order that the second death will have no power over us. Now, Romans chapter 6, you get some insight into that. When Paul says in Romans chapter 6 that we're no longer to continue in sin since we've been freed from it, what should we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Don't you know, as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death, therefore were buried with him in the immersion, and that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness, newness of life, participating in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, now to walk in a newness of life. And that's not an end, that's a beginning. It's a new beginning with a whole new potential. We've read all that before, right? So we won't go into that right now. But, so, getting caught up now. The internal, first things first. We talked about that last time. Now the externals. The way we're going to survive and get through these tough times is because we got our inside, the eternal, the inner man, strong. Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You're going to need that to deal with what's going on down here. I'm telling you right now, this world is in big trouble, including here in America. Individual people. I mean, this is what it's all about. God fashions the hearts individually. He looks down from heaven, from his throne. He sees all the sons of men, and he fashions their hearts individually. We've talked about it before. God is not calling a big mob as a big group. He calls the individuals. That's why it's so personal. Go preach it to everyone. Now, he who believes it, well, that could be 1 out of 100. And is immersed will be saved. But if they don't, they won't. He saves the individual. Fashions the hearts individually. Then collectively, like it's been brought out, we come together, those of like precious faith, as a body. But in every individual, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Christ is in every individual. By choice, free will, you're here because you want to be here. You got in that tank or in that river or in that pond or wherever you got immersed because you wanted to. You wanted to. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, as we mentioned last time, when you run down through that, that is not external persecution. When you read the context, we got to run with endurance this race it said before here. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of the faith. You know, consider what he went through, how he endured the cross, despising the shame, and how he was, consider him who endured hostility from sinners, lest you become weary in your mind, because you have not resisted unto bloodshed, striving against sin. So he had a sinner's problem, we have a sin problem, and we talked about that. What a struggle. The picture you see here is the hands are hanging down. the feeble knees are ready to give out. We get weary in well doing. He's like, come on, come on, come on. Get up, get up, get up, let's go. When you're crucifying that old man, that's not easy. Doable. We can do it. Do like he did. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He went through it first. He went through a real cross. But there's a cross for everyone. But now, oh, and I guess I want to make sure we had this straight as I ended last time. We have this treasure in the earthen vessel. This is the Spirit of Christ in us. Now, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he deals with that. We have this treasure in the earthen vessel that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And then he talks about the pressure we're under. We're hard pressed on every side, he says in verse 8, but yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus can be manifested now. Where? In our mortal bodies, our mortal flesh. He says it twice. Wow, that's what people are supposed to see. You can't live that life like that on your own power. You have to have the treasure in your earthen vessel, or you will be crushed. You will be crushed. Now, I think we ended, and I got to give you this real quick here. In Ephesians chapter 3, just so you know, this just ain't a first century thing. You got to know this is for all time. This is for Christians for all time. I'll give you this. We're strengthened with might by his Spirit, the inner man, it says in verse 16, Ephesians 3 and 16. Strengthened with might through his Spirit, the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's a treasure in the earthen vessel. You being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now imagine that, in this mortal coil, in this clay jar, to be filled with all the fullness of God, and to know, and that now to him, verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. You see, this is not just a first century gig. All these tremendous power verses about the Spirit and Christ in you and able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you, that's just not just first century time, because they were going through a tough time with the Romans and the Jews. And now we just morph into church people. We just go to church on Sunday, and that's our big challenge. All that stuff he just said is for all time, every generation, all generations, forever and ever.